Kyrgyzstan opposition says it is forming a new government. The president's whereabouts are unknown. The CIA is assigned by the White House to kill a Muslim cleric in Yemen. And Iraqis seek justice for the killing of their loved ones by a U.S. assault chopper. Hello, everybody. Those were the headlines of 2300 hours GMT. It's 3:30 a.m. in Tehran, where Press TV is. Thank you for joining us. Starting off in Kyrgyzstan, opposition leader Roza Otunbayeva says that she will head an interim government for 6 months. She has also said the interim government will draft a constitution and pave the way for holding presidential election. This comes after widespread unrest in the Central Asian country. Otunbayeva has also called on President Kurmanbek Bakiyev to step down. Otunbayeva said she does not know anything about Bakiyev's whereabouts. Bakiyev fled the capital Bishkek after protesters attacked government buildings. He is said to have flown to the southern city of Osh. Meanwhile, a senior opposition official has said President Bakiyev must formally submit his resignation to the parliament so that a caretaker government can be formed.
Protests spread to the capital following Tuesday's riots in the central city of Narin and the western city of Talaz. Protests in Bishkek turned violent as riot police opened fire on crowds outside the president's office. Later, protesters stormed the prosecutor general's office in the capital, seized the parliament building and set it on fire. They also captured the state television center, forcing all channels off air. Most opposition leaders have been arrested, and three have been charged with serious crimes so far.
First, it was the Akayev regime, now it's the Bakiyev regime. People are unhappy. Look around here, young people, we are all poor, no jobs. They're shooting at people, you can see for yourself.
Protesters also seized government buildings in three other cities, including Talaz and Narin, where they stormed the regional government's headquarters. Following the unrest, reports came that the interior minister was killed and the first deputy prime minister was taken hostage. The riot started after the opposition accused the government of violating its rights and called for the president's resignation over nepotism and corruption. The opposition is also furious with high inflation and rising poverty. UN chief Ban Ki-moon has urged restraint and called on both sides to negotiate to prevent further bloodshed. The U.S. and Russia have also expressed concern over the escalating violence. Both countries have military bases in Kyrgyzstan.
It's been revealed that U.S. President Obama's administration has ordered the killing of a U.S.-born Muslim cleric in Yemen. A report by the Washington Post says the White House has authorized CIA agents to capture or kill Anwar al-Awlaki. The cleric has been accused of being connected to a failed Christmas airline bombing in Detroit and killings at Fort Hood. Some U.S. officials have labeled al-Awlaki as a top terrorist threat. Al-Awlaki is said to be the first American to be put on the secret U.S. target list. To see into that one, I'm going to bring in Mr. Ali Al-Ahmad, director with the IGA. Ali Al-Ahmad, it is always good to talk to you. What can you tell us about the past and present of Anwar al-Awlaki?
Anwar al-Awlaki is a Yemeni American, born in America as an indigenous person, and went to school in America, and he became an imam of several mosques in the United States. And he was reported to have met several of the September 11 hijackers. Later, he left the United States to go to Yemen. A few years after, he gave harsh statements against the United States as recent as a few months where he called for war against the United States because he said that the United States is at war with Islam. He was in contact with several people, including Nidal Hassan, the American officer who shot his friends or his colleagues in Fort Hood, Texas, last year. So the United States believed that he started talking against the United States, but now he's actively involved in guiding and convincing people to do operations against the United States. This is the American government view, obviously. This might not be the reality, but this is the American government view that Anwar al-Awlaqi, who is an American, is involved in working to attack the United States.
Right. Reports say, Mr. Al-Ahmad, that Awlaqi has been linked to Al-Qaeda, like yourself said. But let's clear something here. Isn't Al-Qaeda a CIA-sponsored organization itself, as many argue, or would you say it acts independently?
Well, the United States really put the seed of Al-Qaeda. Brzezinski, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the former United States National Security Advisor, put the seeds for Al-Qaeda many decades ago. You cannot say now that Al-Qaeda is now controlled by the United States, but it, in many ways, it has been serving the United States interest. Also, Al-Qaeda might be infiltrated by several, secret services around the world, maybe including the United States. But I doubt very much that the CIA is controlling Al-Qaeda today. They helped in finding this organization during the Afghan occupation or the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan. But now this is an organization that is fighting the United States, but simultaneously assisting the United States' strategic interest in the region.
Let's focus a little bit on the CIA's role here. As Washington Post has reported, the CIA is assigned by the White House to kill the man. It seems that the U.S. needs no judicial probe for this killing. My question to you, Ali, do you know of any other similar CIA operations in Yemen?
There are operations of the CIA. This has been an ongoing process in Yemen since 2003. Even before that, the CIA had a station there, and it was run out of Saudi Arabia. Abu Ali al-Harthi in 2004 was assassinated by a CIA-controlled drone in southern Yemen, and he was killed with other Al-Qaeda activists. So, and since then, the United States, and as recent as a few months ago, the United States has increased its presence, CIA and military presence in Yemen. So we have at least a few hundred American soldiers and military experts and security experts inside Yemen who are operating from the embassy and other locations around Yemen.
Right, Mr. Al-Ahmad. It is widely also argued that the U.S. is seeking to turn Yemen into a new battleground in the region. How would you say the recent developments there, and of course the issue of Al-Awlaki that now has come up, can play a pretext for perhaps another U.S. military adventure?
Well, there is an apparent plan, a United States plan, American plan, to get involved in Yemen even further, and this coming few months, the United States is increasing its contacts with the Yemeni government, bringing in Yemeni officials, security, and government officials for training. They are giving them military aid, $150 million worth, in addition to aid and other trainings, so to strengthen the Yemeni government. Like I said earlier, they have sent increasing number of American troops, and I suspect that the secret base, the American base that Robert Gates has visited last month was in the island of Socotra, which is many of you saw. It was in an undisclosed location. That undisclosed location was inside Yemen. So this is going. We will see an increasing number of American operations and military operations in general inside Yemen, targeting mainly Al Qaeda and bringing that country to further chaos.
Mr. Ali Al-Ahmad, director of the IGA, it's always good to talk to you. Thank you. Families of Iraqi civilians shown being shot and killed by the U.S. military in a leaked video are demanding justice. The victims' relatives want U.S. personnel responsible for the killing to be held accountable in the court. The U.S. military says it is reviewing the video and could reopen an investigation into the incident. On Monday, WikiLeaks released a video of a U.S. military Apache helicopter strike in Baghdad in 2007, which killed two Reuters employees and over a dozen civilians. Pilots apparently mistook the camera carried by a newsman for a weapon. The Pentagon has said there is no reason to doubt the video's authenticity, but it says that the two investigations held after the attack cleared military aircrew of any wrongdoing. A bomb attack on a funeral ceremony in southern Baghdad has left at least seven Iraqis wounded. The Iraqi police said the blast targeted mourners gathered for a funeral ceremony in Baghdad's Dora district. Eyewitnesses say three children were also killed in that attack, but police have not confirmed any deaths. The violence comes few days after waves of fatal bomb attacks struck different parts of the capital. Hundreds of people were killed or wounded in the attacks. The UK Ministry of Defense says a British soldier has been killed in southern Afghanistan. The soldier was killed in an exchange of fire with militants in the Nadi Ali district of Helmand province. It was the third British trooper to be killed in Afghanistan since the beginning of April. 281 British military personnel have been killed in Afghanistan since the U.S.-led invasion in 2001. Gaza medics and ambulance drivers have marked the World Health Day and demanded protection from Israeli attacks in the line of duty and an end to the ongoing siege that prevents patients from traveling to receive treatment. Here's more on that.
World Health Day 2010 will focus on urbanization and health with the campaign 1,000 Cities, 1,000 Lives. Events will be organized worldwide during the week of 7 till 11th of April 2010. But in Gaza, where hundreds of people have died as a direct result of the siege in place since June 2007, the Health Ministry and network of Palestinian NGOs organized a rally to call on Israel and Egypt to open the crossings to patients trapped in the territory.
We are here calling the international community in order to intervene, to pressure the Israeli occupation forces to end the blockade in Gaza, to stop all the attacks on the Palestinians, to protect the medical teams and the medical facilities.
Physicians, paramedics, as well as the human rights activists who took part in the event, demanded an immediate end to the ongoing blockade, which has made it difficult for patients requiring advanced medical treatment leave the besieged strip.
You know, the blockade imposed by the Israeli occupation in Gaza has dramatic consequences on the health of people. On one hand, people are not allowed to have free access to medical care outside Gaza. Medicine and medical equipment are not allowed.
Some people are also waiting for death because they are prevented to go abroad to receive the suitable treatment for them. Either those people who are injured from the war or from the chronic diseases.
The rally ended at Izbit Abd Rabbo neighborhood in northern Gaza, which was totally destroyed during the 22-day war. Organizers also paid tribute to those paramedics who were killed by Israeli attacks in the line of duty. International law states that medical workers and ambulance drivers tending to the wounded must not be targeted under any circumstances. To do so is a war crime. But during the Gaza war, the Israeli army killed 16 medical workers and wounded a further 22. They also bombed 18 of Gaza's 71 hospitals and clinics.
Hundreds of critically ill patients have died in Gaza due to travel restrictions and lack of medicines as a direct result of the ongoing Israeli siege.
Meanwhile, according to the Ministry of Health in Gaza, 368 critically ill patients have died so far while waiting for permission to leave the coastal enclave to receive treatment at hospitals in neighboring countries. Yusuf Al-Hilo, Press TV, Gaza.
It's a 3:45 in the morning in Tehran, and here is a reminder of this hour's top stories. Kyrgyzstan opposition says it is forming a new government. The president's whereabouts are unknown. The CIA is assigned by the White House to kill a Muslim cleric in Yemen. And the Iraqis seek justice for the killing of their loved ones by a U.S. assault chopper.